This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Oh, all the things playing in the pen today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Big banks raising capital to pay Uncle Sam back, a thrust in antitrust action, and healthcare at the front of the ER. It's the morning open. Trading started just about 20 minutes ago. Let's see. Where's Wall Street? Yeah, that's where it is. Down about 1.5% for the Dow. More than 132 points at this hour. Right now, NASDAQ down about 1.8%. S&P 500 down more than 2%. European markets are down right now as well. Asian stocks were mostly lower today. Let's bring in Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management in Philadelphia. Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so we have four banks planning to raise capital to repay bailout money. U.S. Bank, Capital One, BB&T, and Key Corp, according to the Associated Press and Reuters. What does this tell us?
Well, I think it tells us that investors are continuing to gain confidence in the financial sector so that actual private parties, as opposed to just the government, are finally providing some capital to the sector.
Just a few moments ago, Bill, Assistant Attorney General Christine Varney announced a more robust policy concerning antitrust action, more in line with the Clinton administration. Is it wise to do something like that in this fallout?
You know, I think the administration has come under some criticism in recent weeks on just coming out with far-ranging items as opposed to just concentrating on the crisis. I think, you know, it remains to be seen. As long as confidence continues to build, it won't probably make much difference.
You know, we talk about health care, Bill. I want to put you on hold for a moment. President Obama's meeting with industry leaders today. Doctors and hospitals and drug makers vowing to cut spending growth by a lot of money. Sincere gesture or getting ahead of what's to come? Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The voluntary cost cutting will be achieved by streamlining paperwork and changing the way patients are billed for service. The Obama administration says the move could save Americans $2 trillion over 10 years. Health policy expert Joseph Antos at the American Enterprise Institute says the industry sees reform on the horizon and wants to help shape it.
They're trying to show publicly good faith so that when the details that matter to them individually come up, that they have a shot at getting the legislation to lean a little more in their direction.
Antos says the industry would have made these cost-cutting moves anyway. Still, it sets the stage nicely for President Obama, who says he wants health care reform legislation from Congress by the end of the year, likely a government health insurance plan that would compete with private insurers. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
All right, Bill Stone, health care reform is likely. How does it change the way these companies do business?
Well, I think one is they want to be seen as part of the solution. But second is I think you've already seen some portion of adapting to it. For instance, the pharmaceutical companies for years have had no interest in really marketing the generic version of their drugs. Many of them have already moved back into that business. So I think you're seeing some of it already.
All right. Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management in Philadelphia. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com. And by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
By the way, just moments ago, the White House revised upward their budget deficit forecasts, $1.84 trillion for fiscal '09, $1.26 trillion for next fiscal year. Circuit City is only weeks gone, but it's not quite over for the electronics chain. Today starts the process of auctioning off its brand. And while the name may live online, all those empty stores represent something much bigger in the retail world.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now to talk a little bit about the business of going out of business and all those stores that are leaving some big shopping voids. Alan, apparently you've been keeping up.
Over the past few months, I've been running across any number of bankrupt retailers that turned out to be owned by leveraged buyout houses, which is not the case with Circuit City. Circuit City was just run out of business by its competitors. But I've got a list of 9 other chains, all of which were owned by leveraged buyout houses, all of which have filed for bankruptcy, and some of which are going to close some or all of their stores. It's really an ugly scene. Would you like some of the names just to look around and see what might be missing in your neighborhood soon?
And some of the names are?
Linens and Things, Mervyn's, Sportsman's Warehouse, a very large chain in my part of the world in New Jersey called Drug Fair, Filene's, Fortunoff's, Bruno Supermarkets, National Wholesale Liquidators, and Whitehall Jewelers. And I'm sure there are more that I've missed, but that seems like a good batch to start with.
Is this a cycle or is it a shift?
Well, I think it may be both. You have the down part of the cycle. Now, 2 and 3 years ago, the chains I was talking about, most of them got bought by leveraged buyout houses then, and that was with the cycle going up because, gee, it's a stable business, a lot of cash flow. It's got these real estate assets. It's got these stores. It's got these leases. And there was all of this optimism, and really until the middle of 2007, there were still people talking about the worldwide boom, and suddenly the worldwide boom went bust, and now it's heading down. You might have, with some of these chains, a permanent shift in the sense that people are going more and more to the internet. Some of these chains are clearly not going to make it because the internet is taking over. So there may be, I hate to use this term, a paradigm shift. I don't know, but I know this is not the time I would want to be putting my 401k into shopping center securities.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
Hope you can join us online at our website, marketplace.org, where you can share your thoughts. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.